Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
I think you alluded to one of those signs, Mike, when revival really is taking place, is that's when the enemy attacks, right? Paul said that, you know, there's an effectual door open to me and there are many adversaries. And so I think that's one of the signs that we're headed in the right direction. We're doing the right thing, is the enemy's opposing what we're trying to do.
That's right.
And I think a lot of guys want to experience that kind of a revival, but then something comes in between them and the Lord, and they started right, and then something gets them off track. You know, they come down off the wall, you know, to use Nehemiah's language again. And it really that seeking God, you know, is something that takes place every day. Revival. We're always looking for revival in the big moment, in the big meeting, right? Like, that's, we think, right, about revival in the context of like, oh, we need this. And those are great times, you know, when we have those big meetings and we have the great number of souls come to Christ. But I think we minimize what can take place when revival takes place every day in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm seeking God today, and when, right, when I'm learning to conform my life to the truth that he's sharing with me in his word, you know. And there's so many things that we could go on about. You know, Keith mentioned unforgiveness, you know. That's something that I'm never going to experience revival until I submit to the truth of forgiveness, and when I need to forgive, and choosing to forgive that person, you know, that's part of that, yeah, that revival that needs to take place in my heart and life. But when I begin to do that, you know, I should expect opposition.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all want those big outpourings. I mean, we were in a service a few weeks ago that I was just evident that the Spirit of God was on the move. You know, John says it's like a wind and sometimes, and it was just evident that God was moving and working. Did I feel the same personally? And I'm being vulnerable here and talk about feelings this Sunday. Probably not. But here's what I would say: we had a 50-something-year-old man come and confess Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's a revival. Amen. That, you're talking about the trajectory of his house and his heart being changed forever. You know, who led Billy Graham to Christ? You know, people would trace that back to maybe D.L. Moody, the great evangelist preacher. Who led D.L. Moody to Christ? People can trace that back to a shoe salesman that's unknown in history, but I promise you his reward in heaven was great. And so I love the Billy Grahams, that way God used, but that shoe salesman, that poor shoe salesman that nobody ever knows his name. Same thing with Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. In the 19th century, he traces his salvation back to an old man that stood up out of the congregation to preach because the pastor was delayed because of a snowstorm. Who was that old man's name? But he got up and shared the gospel. So a young man looked to Christ and be saved. So God's looking for this everyday obedience out of a man, yeah, that it starts in his own heart. And just trust the Lord. He's able to do with that far beyond what we believe or ask or even think, right?
Yeah. Amen. And the good thing is he, you know, taking Psalm 119 again, the Lord allows us to look into this man's life. And we see just a heart cry that he knows he's not where he needs to be. And just that one simple cry, you know, God, seek your servant, or do not forget your commandments. And, you know, that changes everything. God, and really God moves in. Wasn't what the psalmist really, there's no indicator that he, only thing he did was just cry out to God. He just prayed, and then all of a sudden, we can anticipate. You know, to read the word, the psalm of ascents come after these, after Psalm 119. It's pretty cool to see how low he got, but then the book itself changes to a great ascent.
Yeah. Have you guys ever heard the story of Adrian Rogers? I try to encourage men all the time to, you need to know who Adrian Rogers was. He's probably the 20th century Prince of Preachers, right? Have you ever heard the story of kind of his personal revival and getting right before the Lord when the Lord was calling him into ministry? He, I don't know if you guys heard that story, but he went out into a football field he was a great athlete and felt like he wanted to do sports. He got saved. The Lord started calling him into ministry, and man, the Lord still uses his ministry, by the way. He still has sermons that are always out there, but he goes on a football field and stands there and says, Lord, I want to be used by you. I'm your servant. Use me. And he said he didn't feel like he was low enough yet. So he got on his knees on a football field and said, "Lord, use me. I want to be used by you. Just humble me." He still didn't feel like he was quite low enough. He laid on his face on a football field and prayed the same prayer, "Lord, if you can use me, I want to be humble and I want to be greatly used by you, Lord, for your glory." The story goes, he still didn't feel like he was humble enough. He digs a hole in the football field, sticks his face in the hole, and just gets on his face before the Lord and said, "Lord, use me for your glory." And I just believe that personal revival that started on that football field in his heart, the Lord used that mightily. I really believe that.
Amen.
So as we kind of close up, wrap up here, men and listeners, we want you to really go help men win. And part of this, we want to give you more access than just a podcast to go and listen to. We want to give you some other ways to connect. So Keith, why don't you or Justin tell us some ways that these guys can connect?
Yeah, there's, you know, I guess probably the best way to say this would be just to, you know, this is cliche, but you need to pray. You need to seek God's face. And, you know, hopefully if you want to see change in your life personally, or even a group of men that you're a part of, I think it's always good to get that before the Lord and pray. But there are times that we can respond, and, you know, we know he's called us to do something. Sometimes we use prayer as an excuse and we don't do anything. So I would say for something we can help you with, we do a What's at Stake night that we do. It's an event that really creates a lot of momentum. We do everything we can to gather as many men as we can there, and we really go after the hearts of men and give them a good next step in terms of what that looks like for several weeks of teaching. And that, you know, the resource they could probably use if they wanted to would be Helping Men Win. 10 lessons on biblical masculinity, and we're just trying to get that out there. We're actually revising the content of 10 lessons to help men win. So this is going to be released pretty soon, and that's going to be something that you need to be looking for. Another thing I would do is just to encourage you to maybe get in a retreat somewhere. I mean, when I was at First Baptist Woodstock, Georgia, there was about 8 or 9 men that we started praying together. And we prayed through scripture, let the word of God minister to us. And then out of that, we started really just a real momentum ministry. You know, wasn't really existing at the time, but now it's kind of grown into other phases and stages. But it started with a prayer meeting. And I actually saw one of those guys this past week, and a couple of those guys this past weekend. So it's pretty cool to see that they're still marked by those years or months of praying together to seek God. Or, you know, we have an Anvil retreat that's coming up and other retreats that'll take place at Sanctuary Hills. We've done Men's Summit that really gets guys going. It's a great way to bring men to another event and then, you know, offer a next step on the other side of that. We've done one in Georgia this year. We got one coming up in Tennessee, and we have plans with you, Mike, in Kentucky there. So why don't you tell us about how that started and how we got to the summit?
Yes, man. We got our summit coming up here in August, and I can't wait for that. We did it last year, and what a wonderful time. But it started even a year before that, 2 years ago. We hosted a What's at Stake night, and Keith is right. The win on that is on the other side of that. So we hosted our What's at Stake night. If you can't get men together, if men won't come for a juicy ribeye, I don't know what men will come for, right? Because we had some good steak that night. I do remember. And we just hosted this one night event where Keith came in and kind of motivated our men. Our men needed to be motivated. And you may say, "Well, how come you can't do that, Mike?" Well, I just think, and this goes back to our teenage conversation, that the reason why I do like my boys, especially in youth group, to hear from our student pastor, because sometimes it takes different men and different people saying the same thing as you and have a different voice saying the same thing. Our men got extremely motivated out of that. And from that, we started our relaunch. We were already doing a Wednesday night program. We relaunched our men's study on Wednesday nights into not just a big circle of me teaching, but into table groups where our men meet in table groups. And I'm in a table group, and I don't lead that table group. I tell you what, not only Real Momentum did for our men's ministry, but also what the What's at Stake night did for our men's ministry, and then what the summit that we had last year did for our men's ministry, is that I had men at my table saying, "Hey, you can be a part of our table group, Pastor, but you can't lead it. We're leading it."
Amen.
And now I got men on Wednesday night saying, "Hey, I got two different guys teaching we're starting a brand new study this Wednesday. And I got two guys that are teaching that and said, hey, we want to teach, we want to lead. And just men stepping up. I had another guy come to me. We're starting a once a month, first Saturday of the month, men's breakfast. It's not one of these prayer breakfasts. We do pray, but it's just men being vulnerable to get together and eat meat, eat sausage. Hey, we had pancakes this past Saturday. But the man that started it saying, hey, I want to host this. If you come, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. But I just want to get men together. All that to say, I didn't really see that desire before any of this, because these men are having their personal revivals in their own hearts. And then because of that, they want to see other men be led, and they want to lead themselves. Because if we're honest, I'm one guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
I'm one guy. I don't even have my head above water. My head's under water most weeks, and I need other men around me. Jesus said, hey, I need 12 guys to do this work. Right. And he taught them. What did he do? He taught them, then he unleashed them. Right. And that's what the steak night's about. It's not about, hey, let's get a good speaker in and let's have some good food. Those things are great fun. And, you know, we love fellowship, but it's the other side of that that really, I think, is that win, right? That you talk about so much.
Yeah. So we can get you guys connected to some of those. Just reach out to us. There's a release on the book coming back out really soon. It's going to be the revised edition of that. So we're actually teaching through some of that right now on Tuesday mornings here in Knoxville. And awesome to see the number of guys coming. We started with 20. Now we're up around 40. And it's just pretty cool to see the continual reaching that's taking place and the leading that's taking place. And all ages, all stages. Got young men all the way up to senior adults, and it's pretty cool to see that happen. And last thing I'd say before we get out of here, Pastor Mike, is that, the podcast is out. You can actually get that on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, and listen to all the episodes, maybe share some. We'd want you to like, share, and subscribe those episodes and just really be a part of the conversation. I mean, this is part of what I like about even having this podcast is we're talking about things that probably need to be discussed. You know, we talk about sports, we talk about the government, we talk about all the things that really don't have kingdom impact. But if we talk about men's ministry, and I was saying this, and I maybe even said it in one of our other podcasts, is that, man, I think the sex trafficking issue will go away if we help men get right with God. Could you imagine if we had 1,000 men have personal revival and walk away from a life of sin and debauchery and being addicted to pornography and just being captivated by the world. And I just think, man, if we are serious about this, I know God is, and I think we'll see a lot of things change. The crisis pregnancies will go down. The abuse of women and children will go away. Why would we not want to invest in men? So if you're out there listening to this, man, I pray that you will just ask God to move in your life in a fresh way and move in your life in a personal way. And just ask him. I know he wants to. And be honest about where you are and be honest about where you want to be, and let him move in your life. And we got all the tools we can help, but I know one thing, he's the greatest one. He's the only source of revival. And we have all these things that we can do. Man, I think those are good things, and we have good insight from other leaders, but what can God do? Why not ask him that today?
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.